Larry Nelson, the rock man, is in the back making the music happen, guys. We got a lot of football to talk about today, and that is all we talk about here today on Inside the Huddle. Shaggy, how are you doing? Carlos, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and like you said, nothing else to talk about but football, and what a better time to talk about.
Seven days. Well, we have been waiting for this for a while. Football is upon us, ladies and gentlemen.
Lots to talk about.
Big splash yesterday, guys. Leonard Fournette found a home after he left of one.
Yeah.
Stayed in Florida. Didn't go very far. I think he went to a lot better team, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jacksonville's still imploding.
Yeah.
I mean, they let go of another guy today.
And Harrison.
You know what's crazy about it, too, is he's still asking for his money from Jacksonville. So he's going to get $4.3 or $4.2 million from Jacksonville.
Yeah, $4.25,
and then as well as the $7 million that he's going to get from Tampa Bay.
Right.
So it's like he's in a win-win situation. It's like he leaves a team that's tanking, that has no weapons around him, goes to a team that has a plethora of weapons and embarrassment of riches. Like, you know what's crazy? This is a football show, but I don't want to take it to an NBA segment. You remember when they vetoed the trade for Chris Paul to go to the Lakers? It's like, it's just crazy.
No.
Like, they can you imagine if Roger Goodell was like, all right, this is too much. Leonard Fournette can't go there.
Wow.
No. And Rojo's still the starter. You know, it's all keep that in mind. Even when LeSean McCoy was signed last week also. But a good stat that I don't think a lot of people don't know is that Fournette last season had 562 rushing yards after first contact.
That's a lot.
Well, I mean, I'm a fifth in the most in the NFL. But still, I think he's just a hard man to tackle, so he might do the third downs, third and short, you know, kind of things.
He accounted for 30% of Jacksonville's offense, and not only that, he had the fifth most catches among running backs this year with 76 catches. So he's shown that he can do versatile things, and we all know Tom Brady likes to throw to his running backs in the backfield. So this is just another running back to throw to, another dimension for that offense.
Yeah, I think it's a great pickup for Tampa Bay. I think that I don't think Ronald Jones is going to be the starter at the beginning of the season.
With the season a week and literally 3 days away, or not like a week away, but like a week and 3 days till they'll play, do you see Leonard Fournette even getting 10, 15 touches on Sunday football? Because he's playing against the Saints. That's a very important game.
His first game.
I can see him 5
for 10. Tampa Bay, I don't see him getting that many. But week two and three, yeah, I could see him start working his way. He's going to be the number one by week two or by week three. I think he's going to be the number one running back.
Coach Aaron said that Ronald Jones is still the team starting running back.
Yeah.
So
I mean, as of right now,
it's his job to lose.
That's what I'm saying. It's Ronald Jones's job to lose. And I think in a few weeks he will lose. It's just showing, you know, because Leonard Fournette's not a bad running back. I think he's actually pretty daggum good running back. He's a bruiser. He's a big guy. Like you said, he's a good third down back. Yeah, are you going to see Shady and Ronald Jones and maybe a little bit of Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, first, second downs? But if there's anything second and short, third and short, you know, I got Leonard Fournette all day.
He's just the veteran backup.
Yeah, he's
there. Yeah. He's the coach. He's the mentor. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why they have him there.
Yeah.
So let's look at it from a Jacksonville point of view. Like, where does this really leave the Jags? Does this really put the Jags even more down at the bottom dweller of the NFL?
Well, yeah, I mean, who's their backup running back?
They did have Chris Ivory, but they got rid of him. So there's
they don't have anyone.
There's
DJ Yeldon's gone. Yeah. Ivory's gone.
I mean, all they really have is DJ Chark on offense, and that's just a deep threat wide receiver.
Yeah, they got rid of Hearns. Is Hearns still there?
No, Hearns. He plays
Hearns
for
is gone.
I think the
Robinson's
Vikings now.
Gone.
They have Ryquell Armstead. He's their running back.
Yeah, Ryquell Armstead is number one. Chris Thompson, number two.
I mean, Chris Thompson's the receiving.
Well, that guy's
back.
A stud, huh? I mean, I don't know. This leaves Jacksonville in a spot where they are definitely now the worst team in the NFL. I think they're going to overtake Washington.
You know what's crazy about that is, like, for the longest time in the NFL, you never saw teams tank. And now last year, the Miami Dolphins, I mean, they obviously were tanking for Tua.
Would you not tank for Trevor Lawrence?
That's what I'm saying. You think that's the new trend in the NFL of, like, hey, you know, get rid of all your pieces now. Let's unload of all the money. Let's get some salary cap
One
room.
Of the best ways to guarantee that you're going to win two, maybe three games, you know, if – you know, your star running back is gone. We know Gardner Minshew is not going to get it done.
I know, and I feel bad for the guy.
I love Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I feel
Minshew
bad.
Minshew mania, man.
I loved Minshew when he came in for Foles. He brought Jacksonville some life, because when Nick Foles got injured the first play of the first game, I know he threw a touchdown, which was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But tore his shoulder, rotator cuff, if I'm wrong, was out 8-9 weeks. Soon as he was healthy, bye-bye Gardner Minshew, and here comes Nick Foles. And
then they lose those three games.
Yeah, they lose the next like three or four, and it's like, why didn't you just keep Minshew in? And then you sell Nick Foles when you just paid all that money for god-awful
money. You know what's
money
weird to like think about
mil?
This? Like, around that time, they were 3-3, so it's not like, you know, they were in a tilting situation when they put Minshew out for Nick Foles. So it's like losing those three games really just hurt them and set them back. They only ended up winning two of the last, seven games, going 5-11. I mean, Minshew really was the patch on a hole, you know, on a patch on a boat that had a lot of holes in it.
Yeah, no, I would I would agree. I like Minshew.
He was probably crying when he found out that they let Fournette go.
Well, he's probably thinking like, well, I'm your one stable piece, and you're trying to replace me in a year and a half. You're trying to get a quarterback to try to replace me, because the writing's already on the walls there. You know, hey, they're going to try to draft Trevor Lawrence. They're trying to get him. So
little more. Let's run a little bit on the quarterback roulette here. Miami is trying to offload Josh Rosen. Did you guys see that?
They are
taking trade inquiries for Mr. Josh Rosen. Well, that guy can't get a break, huh?
No. Here's okay.
Well, he goes to one team. They say, "Yeah, we don't want you." He goes to another team. They're like, I don't know." They send you over here, and then these guys are like, I don't know, man." It's like, is this guy ever gonna get a chance to do anything?
I think my problem with Josh Rosen and the Josh Rosen saga is, if you look in the NFL, most teams outside of the Saints and the Patriots have a quarterback that can get on the move and move around. But if you look at Saints and the Patriots, the Saints and the Buccaneers, they have two really good, pro-reading quarterbacks. Everyone else has a quarterback that can move. Josh Rosen is a young quarterback coming into this league that has no mobility, so he's already restricted in some levels that he can't get out of the pocket and save himself if he can't find the read. So it's just a setup for a lose-lose for him, where he's really set up in a bad situation. I mean, there's already pass rushers that are as fast as wide receivers nowadays. So it's like he's already setting up. I mean, who would you rather have now? Would you rather have a Josh Allen or a Josh Rosen? A quarterback that can get out and move, that can throw the ball down the field, or a statue in the pocket? I mean, what would you rather have nowadays?
You know my stance. I'm a big mobile quarterback guy.
I think
all of
us would agree on that. You'd rather have the mobile quarterback.
Yeah. Other quarterbacks, talking about mobile quarterback situation, your hometown, not hometown, but your favorite NFL team has named their starting quarterback today. Mr. Cam Newton will be starting for the New England Patriots next week. Man.
And team captain.
Yeah, I heard that. And team captain.
You know
what's
crazy? Is people were saying that Belichick didn't like him.
Belichick absolutely can't stand him. There was a whole thing that came out about Belichick doesn't like
Cam. But if he doesn't
Cam,
like him.
He didn't want Cam.
But here's the thing, though. If he doesn't like him, why is he naming him the team captain?
Let's hear it. What do you got?
I'm pretty sure that was a joke.
That's what I'm saying.
It was a Barstool. Was it a Barstool blog post that I don't think was actually like?
I thought it was.
Serious.
I thought that came out on ESPN the other day.
I there's no way it's serious if he's starter and captain.
Yeah, I was about to say like, there's no way that he's naming him the captain and coming out and being like, I don't like the guy. So you knew for a while that with the Patriots going with Jared Stidham that they were going to go with a Cam Newton or something like that, or the Cam Newton sweepstakes. There's no way he was going to walk out there with Jared Stidham. There's no way.
Go ahead.
So Belichick actually made a statement that he's an quote unquote, he's an extremely hard worker. Nobody works harder than Cam does. He's here early. He stays late. Some players like to work on things they're good at. Like, if you're strong on the bench press, then you'll just keep throwing more weight on the bench. But Cam's the type of player that works on things that he's not as good at and really tries to improve on a daily basis. That's something I really respect about him. And that's Belichick stating that.
See, the thing that I read was that they read into that quote and said that Bill Belichick was saying that he's not good at things, and so because of that, he doesn't like him. That was like
they tried to pick and choose.
Yeah, exactly. They're reading between the lines, but there's nothing really to read between the lines there.
It's like Vic Fangio, you know, he calls out his team every press conference. You know, if Von Miller had a bad day, he'll say, Von stunk today. You know what I mean? Like,
One more little small football headline. Josh Gordon has got a job.
Yeah.
The Seahawks have re-signed Josh Gordon's, you know, the suspended receiver, if anybody didn't know. Why? They need wide receiver help. Mm-hmm. You know, I think with just Lockett and DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a good pickup, but I mean, can he stay off the drugs? Isn't that what he's been
has a sad career if you
can't
think about it.
Can't pass the drug test.
It's just sad. It's like, you know, he's such a talented career, a talented player. He just can't stay off of it. And it's even more sad with the NFL that, you know, the illegalization of marijuana and it compared to the NBA. It's just sad, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Seahawks has a person dedicated straight, like, state, mm-hmm. like, what do you call your AA buddy?
AA buddy, yeah.
You know what I mean?
we're going to take a quick break, guys, and we will be back. I have the fantasy rankings, and I have the power rankings for the new NFL season. Come back in a few minutes, and we will tell you all about it. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Be On Air Network.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hurry, young Papsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, oh boy, Kansas City is still on the top, guys. And I'm talking about the power, PFT, power rankings that have just come out. Was it yesterday? Day before?
That would be July 19th, actually, 2020. That's when these lists came out.
That's when that list came out?
Yes.
And then this new PFT list just came out. Okay,
we're on the same list.
All right, we're on the same list. Good.
The one with Mike Florio on the cover.
Yeah, for real. So the Chiefs, the king of the hill. They remain the top spot until someone's going to really knock them off.
And that's going to be the Buccaneers this year.
Hopefully. Number two in the power, PFT power rankings. The 49ers come in number two as the runner-ups, obviously, in the Super Bowl. So I don't see them having much... You know, to say about not being top five at least.
Yeah, there's not much to argue with the top three.
No,
honestly.
I don't think so no. at all. Now, after the Ravens at three, we got a lot of problems. We got a lot to talk about here. You know, the Ravens, I think, are going to fight for the, you know, if Lamar Jackson can win a playoff game, God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, Baltimore can get to the Super Bowl. But good Lord, how in the heck are the Patriots at four? Did Cam Newton really make a difference in the power rankings?
No. I mean,
you're going to lose Tom Brady and say Cam Newton was a valuable replacement, which he's a good quarterback if he's healthy. But you're going to tell me he's a valuable replacement to put the Patriots at number four on the power rankings of the preseason?
Their first five games, because, I mean, Newton still needs to learn the offense. And I think the first five games are going to be like 1-4 or 2-3.
This Pro Football Talk, this is a lot of like, this is obviously off NBC Sports. It's a lot of like Chris Sims and Mike Florio running these lists. So you could obviously tell the influence of the Idiocracy from Chris Sims on this list.
Yeah.
So he is obviously a.
You can definitely see that. Thank you for that. Oh, Chris, we're probably not going to be using your, you know, PFT power rankings anymore after this because these are absolutely atrocious.
Just any Sims, any. Yeah, just trash quarterbacks and trash takes. Bill Sims, Chris Sims, any of the Sims.
I think the Pats don't hit top 10.
No.
Hot take right now.
No.
I don't think that's a hot take, honestly.
Okay, so it's a normal take then. It's an actual – that is an actual happening then.
You can move in the Buccaneers at 6 or at 4.
I'd have the Buccaneers at 4. Look at this, dude. Yeah. The offense and the weapons that they have now with Tom Brady, dude, there's no way they don't fight – for the NFC championship, dude. And maybe work that Super Bowl in.
Right. These rankings came out yesterday, and, you know, with Fournette signing yesterday, too.
How are the Bills behind? The Bills are, I mean, I get the Bills are top 10, but, like, the Bills are the better team than the Patriots right now. I mean, are we arguing with that?
I think the Bills are better than the Saints. You know, honestly, because we were talking about it yesterday, people are thinking Drew Brees. You know, Marty came on and said Drew Brees is kind of. And working his way out, working his way down a little bit, slowing down on the, you know, yards and the touchdowns. And, I mean, yeah, he was injured a little bit last year.
Mm-hmm.
But
his thumb, yeah.
So, you guys agree with Saints at 5? Bucks at 6 and Seahawks at 7?
I would put the Seahawks above the Saints, honestly. Yeah. I'd put the Buccaneers above the Saints.
I'll tell you who don't belong in the top 10 is these Titans, dude.
Yeah, why are the Titans in the top 10?
Honestly, I mean, Corey, what do you got back there sitting back lazily? What do you got, man? Anything? Do the Titans belong in the top 10?
I would say they belong in the top 10.
Why?
Well, they went to one game before the Super Bowl, did they not?
Well, everybody has a fluke year, dude.
That was a fluke year?
What?
No.
They ran the ball down the throat.
Defense and Derrick Henry carried them. God forbid.
They still won those games.
They could have literally had anybody playing quarterback. Dude.
Defense wins championships. They
and
got Derrick Henry.
Run game wins championships.
I mean, who do they have to contend with in the AFC South?
But I'm saying they went – what was their record? 9-7?
But you also got to remember this. Started off 2-4.
Mariota.
Yeah, 2-4. And
Tannehill came in and only went 6-3, dude.
But that's still, you know.
Is that worth $114 million to you, 6-3?
You got to get your quarterback.
For 6-3? That's your quarterback? That's where you throw your money? Instead of your workhorse that did everything in the playoffs?
If that's the type of team that Vrabel wants to run, you know, a system quarterback
problem,
who's just there to not make mistakes.
That's the problem. He's defensive minded.
So here's
Broncos won with defense.
Yeah. And they broke. They ran. They won with a Peyton Manning that literally could not throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So Buffalo at 9.
I honestly do not agree with 10. I'm sorry. I know you're an Eagles fan, but I don't agree with 10.
I don't think they're that good this year.
For me, I don't even put the Cowboys there. I'd either put either the Vikings, there's Packers, there's so many teams.
And the Steelers are definitely not at 11.
No. I agree. I agree with the Eagles being at 10. I mean,
below 10.
Below 10. I think they're maybe 15, 14.
I'd put him, yeah, I'd definitely put him in the top 15, but they're top 10. I just, you know, the Vikings and the Packers, those are two really good teams and formidable teams that have really good rosters. I mean, more or less the Vikings and the Packers, but the Vikings have a great roster. Are we not, you know, that's good receivers, right, good running
so
backs.
So they put the Steelers at 11 because Ben's mm-hmm. back?
I don't know. I come on.
No.
You think Ben's going to come back and have the season that he, you know, or like be, you know, vintage Ben again, or is he going to be washed up?
Well,
I mean, think about this, though. Last year, the Steelers almost made the playoffs with no Big, with no Le'Veon, with no Brown, you know, and they still nearly made the playoffs.
Their defense helped them out.
They were the top defense taken in my draft, definitely.
So they're, but Ben, he states that his arm is stronger now than it was 5 years ago.
After a baseball injury.
The best tangible Big Ben has is you can't tackle the damn dude.
Right.
He breaks so many sack tackles, it's ridiculous.
He does.
Cowboys are at 12. Vikings at 13. Pack is at 14. And your guys' Bronx are at 15 with my Colts sitting at 16.
That's crazy to put the Broncos as a top fifth or a top, you know, half of the NFL team.
You guys think the Colts sit 15, 16 line, 17 right there? Do you think they sit there too?
Well, I honestly picked the Colts to win the AFC South. The only reason I do is because I think the Titans and as well as the Texans are going to take a step back, and we already know where Jacksonville is at. So what does that leave the Colts? The Colts have a great offensive line, good formidable, you know, receivers and great running backs. You know, they got Jonathan Taylor. You know, I know how you are on him, and Phillip Rivers. And Phillip Rivers and, you know, with the Chargers.
Corey doesn't really like Phillip Rivers at all.
Does he not like Phillip Rivers?
He's crummy. Old.
He's old. He's washed
he
up. He can't throw. He can't throw the ball
he's
with 45.
He's going to check down every play.
Carlos, can you bring up his stats for me real quick?
Yeah.
He's going to tell me Phillip Rivers can't throw the football, but had about 4,000 yards last season?
Fantasy-wise, he's always top three.
I know that.
Well, top 10.
Trust me.
Top three.
And you know what happens when fantasy quarterbacks.
Yeah, for fantasy points.
For fantasy points. No. He's like a top five fantasy quarterback, bro.
No, he's not. That is
what?
Incorrect.
Yes. No.
Last year, the top five fantasy quarterbacks were all running quarterbacks. It was like Lamar, Deshaun, Mahomes.
I got him right here. I got
Dak
him right
Prescott.
Here. Dude. I got him right here. Let's see. Rankings. That's 2020. Come on. It didn't go back.
Well, you're looking for that. So Texans at 17 and the Browns at 18. I mean, I would put the Texans in front of the Broncos.
And then the Falcons are at 19. And then you have the Cardinals at 20.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me. The Cardinals are challenging Seattle for that division this year. Mm-mm. Are they not? I mean, are they not challenging Seattle for that division?
They are.
That
Cardinals team is going to be slept on this year, and it's going to be sad forever does sleep on them. They have three literally starting wide receivers, number one wide receivers as the receivers, a running back that has been underrated his whole entire career in Kenyon Drake, and a quarterback that at every level has been amazing.
Upcoming superstar.
Yeah.
Upcoming superstar. So,
I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals made some noise in the playoffs, nonetheless, like when, you know, won the division.
Playoffs? All right, so that's your top 20. I don't even want to keep going because the rest of this is just crap, really.
Dolphins at 26.
Panthers are at 30, dude. Like, really? What? Really? Are the Panthers going to be that bad?
I don't think the Giants should be at 29.
Are the Panthers the third worst team in the NFL with the best running back on the in the nation?
New coach, new quarterback. They don't really have a defense anymore. Like, I could see it.
They have the Raiders at 22. I guarantee by week four. I mean, if we still have football after week three, there's going to be so much drama for the Raiders to be in Vegas. You know, there's always going to be, all right, this guy's at the
– every player's going to be gambling.
And prostitution.
I'm not going to lie.
He was gambling on our team this week.
I'm not going to lie. I've always hated the Raiders, but now that they're in Vegas, I kind of see myself going for them. It's kind
of
weird.
I see a lot of point shaving coming.
It's weird, man. Like,
you know how cheap it is to – you know, for Bronco fans to fly out to Vegas to see the Raiders game.
Oh, well, I mean, cheap, dude. you can go and see them in a casino. I wouldn't want to see them in a stadium yet. Wait for those ticket prices or win them at the state or win them at a casino.
All right, so real quick before we got a few minutes left, guys. In fantasy, they have these on this Fantasy Pros website. They have tiers. Now, I want to read off these, was it 5, 7? Because there's tier one with McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke, and Henry. That's it. That's the tier.
for running backs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tier one. Those are tier one running backs. Four. Tier two running backs. Dalvin, Kamara, Chubb, Joe Mixon, Jacobs, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Hasn't taken a damn NFL snap, and you're going to put him as a tier two running back just because he's what, starting?
Well, you know what's crazy? Look at this. They're
just
saying
because he's starting?
At best, they're saying he could be a top five running back. They have number three. It's like, what?
Come he's going to get all of the work in Kansas
All of what work? With who?
With Kansas City.
Him throwing 45 times a game, how much work are you going to get on the ground, bro?
Look at Damian Williams last year.
Had over what? Even have 1,000 yards.
I'm pretty sure Joe Buck named him
Didn't
playoff
Didn't have 1,000 yards. Playoff. Yeah, he had a few things in the playoffs, dude.
He was great last year.
Yeah, he scored 3 touchdowns in the playoff and the Super Bowl. So.
But Patrick Mahomes throws 50 times a game, dude. They don't run the football. Kansas City's not a running football team.
If we're talking fantasy, you look at who's going to get the most touches, the most work, the most volume.
You don't think Damian Williams is going to get anything?
Damian Williams is out.
Damian Williams opted out.
Who's the other guy? There's a
Darryl Williams. Williams.
Dude, they got to spread the ball around, bro. He had a lot of touches last season.
Not really. The
bro,
sleeper.
I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is even that good of a running back.
I think Miles Sanders should be on that.
In the tier two category?
Yeah. He's the Eagles. I mean, the latter part of the last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's sitting in tier three, yeah.
In tier three, I think he should be in two.
With Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake, and Austin Eckler are tier three running backs. Do either one of those move up and somebody else come out? Mm. So you're saying Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes out. I think he only comes out because he's a rookie. He hasn't taken an NFL snap.
So get this.
He's never even been hit.
Get
They're
this.
Not even tackling.
Add on to this. Damian Williams had the most touches on the Chiefs offense last year. Damian Williams is not there anymore. Who's going to get all those touches? LeSean McCoy was the second most touches on that offense. He's not there anymore. Darryl Williams only had 43 touches. They're going to give the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I mean, he ain't going to go anywhere, though. He can't even run the football. We're going to take a quick break, guys. Coming up, you know, our NFL top 50, 40 through 36. We got some sound bites for you. Guys, come back. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Be On Air Network.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hurry, young Popsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle. Here I got Squirrel and I got Carlos here with me. I got Core running the board. Got our editor Jacob here with us. So we've been doing this thing where we've been doing top 50 players. Now we're on to the top 50 teams in the NFL. And last week we did 45 down to 40, and now we're going to be doing 40 down to 36. And I was going to start off with the 1929 Green Bay Packers at 40.
They started in the little stadium that held 25,000 people. The fans kept coming, not just from Green Bay, but from all over the state. Then they got to be a state team, and they got to be a national team in a hurry, and got to be known as national champions.
In 1929, they won 12 games and tied one, the first of three consecutive championship seasons for the Packers.
And I don't think we have much to add on to that in 1929. I don't think anyone here can attest for what happened in 1929.
Let me call my grandma. She might have watched the game.
That was around the Spanish flu days.
Yeah, going on. Number 39, the 1979 Pittsburgh Steelers.
We didn't have the Cowboy cheerleaders. We had Myron Cope.
The terrible Tom imputes great strength to the Steelers.
Myron Cope was part of our life. He was amazing, and that was our cheerleader.
Yoink! And that ball, yoink!
Whipping the terrible towel, that was pure magic.
The terrible towel. Terrible towel. What more do we need?
This is probably the best one we've ever had, and I accept this trophy on behalf of the best football team in the nation and the best coaching staff and the best organization. Thank you.
Anything you guys have to add on this 1979 Steelers? I mean, their fourth Lombardi trophy that they won at the time. Probably the first NFL dynasty outside of the Packers and as well as the Browns.
They were good.
Terrible towel years.
Yeah. No, they were good. They weren't America's team because Dallas still was. But
don't think it's still considered Dallas America's team?
It's crazy that they still do that. I mean, you would think it would be the Patriots at this point now.
Yeah, for real. They're red, white, and blue.
You know, their name is literally the Patriots. They win all the time.
Yeah, and they're Patriots.
Yeah, like, but they got the asterisk of cheaters.
I mean, at least Belichick does.
No, I'm being serious.
And the main cheater is now in Tampa Bay.
They have that asterisk.
Winning still happens. Moving on, 1998, Minnesota Vikings are at 38.
I mean, but the only game you remember is that Falcons game.
He's done it all year long. He hasn't missed an extra point or a field goal.
He'll go wins it.
39-yard attempt. The spot, the kick by Anderson on the way. It's no good.
Wow. Gary Anderson has missed a field goal for the first time in 2 years. Unbelievable.
You're talking about 100 years of football. I don't think that team will, like, go down as one of the greatest teams ever. It go down as one of the biggest disappointments.
I remember that game.
I'm not going to lie. I was 1 year old when this game happened, but I've still seen every game of the season. Thank God for YouTube. But this is probably one of my favorite teams on NFL films to watch. I mean, you have Randall Cunningham. You have Robert Smith. You have Chris Carter. You have Jake Reed. And then NFL Rookie of the Year, Randy Moss, setting the rookie touchdown record.
Yeah.
I mean, what else can you say about this team? They had an NFL record, 36 points a game. They scored 515 points in the regular season, a then NFL record, breaking the 1983 Washington Redskins. There's just so much that you can say about this team offensively. I mean, like the videos have said, you only think of one moment and one moment only, and it starts with two words, Gary Anderson.
And I felt bad for him because you know how that they always put stats up? Like this kicker hasn't missed a field goal in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Bank shank.
I know. It's like, well, you just jinxed them. It's like, right. Why'd you say that?
I hate that. You know,
you got to say it after the fact. Say it after the fact.
This quarterback hasn't thrown an interception in 200 passes.
Pick.
Pick six.
It's the worst that could happen.
Oh.
No, I love that team. I felt bad for them. They didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
It's oh, my God. whenever I go on Madden and I go on franchise, I always try to find like the old classic teams, and I always try to go and find this team first because this team is so fun offensively. I mean, mainly just because it's got Randall Cunningham at the last part of his career.
I was rooting
really
for him.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. I mean, yeah. Comeback player of the year that year in 1998. There's not much else you could say about it. Moving on to these other two teams, and I want you to do this one at number 37, Squirrel.
Which is, oh, yeah, it's the greatest, and I think the greatest NFL team of all time, the Indianapolis Colts of 2006. I mean,
The 2006 Colts, it was a special year for us. We had a lot of offense at that point.
You're seeing the Colts at their best offensively.
He got it! Holy what a smoke. Catch! Wow. What a brilliant catch!
Yep. Our night, our team, baby! This is what we do!
The white towels are out. The crowd is ready. The Colts are ready. The Patriots are ready.
You know, in my mind, it was a battle of good versus evil.
Good versus evil? Who's the evil?
The Patriots?
Yes, that is the evil. Evil of the NFL.
Was that Jim Gaffigan talking?
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan. You can hear his little squeaky voice.
I had to pull it off NFL Films, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to use this. I was like, Jim Gaffigan talking about the Colts. I mean, he's from Indianapolis.
Yeah. I got my Colts stuff on.
I wish I found Chris Pratt talking about him. That'd be even better.
Dude, there's so much talent you could talk about on that team alone. You know, if you just start, obviously, with the great Peyton, Edgerrin James was in the backfield. Marvin Harrison was on one side. Reggie Wayne was on the other. Dallas Clark was at tight end. Mm-hmm. Brandon Stokely, which I know is a big name around here, was on that team as well. And, I mean, Bob Sanders was there. Good Lord, dude. You had a slew of talent on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you had Manning's boyfriend, Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, his real big boyfriend, Jeff Saturday. Yeah. Joe Haig started there.
Who was the guy that caught – who was the offensive lineman that caught the touchdown in the AFC Championship? It was number 61. Who was that? Remember that? Because they had the –
an offensive lineman should not be allowed to catch the football.
Well, do you not remember that?
No, I do. I don't know. I don't remember the lineman's name.
Let's look up 06 AFC Championship.
But anyway, one of the greatest NFL teams of all time. And Corey's a big, you know, Colts fan, so I know he knows a lot about the Colts. He's a big Colts connoisseur.
I don't think he's a Colts fan by choice, honestly.
Yeah, he's from Lafayette Street, downtown Indianapolis. He born and raised bleeding blue, so.
Jeez. Dan Klecko.
Dan Klecko. Yeah. He's a great. I have no idea who that is. But
was the offensive lineman that caught the touchdown in the AFC Championship.
His son plays now.
Who's his son?
Klecko.
Yeah, his son, yeah.
Jake. Just call him Jake.
His name is Jake Klecko.
Jake from State Farm.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you take this one at number 36 because I know you're another big Eagles fan.
Yeah, I'll do my Merle Reese impersonation.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The Philadelphia. No. Philadelphia.
Yeah, go ahead.
Eagles, 2017.
I'm going to take a second to talk to you about underdogs.
Yeah.
When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire. We're going for it right here. Carson Wentz didn't go to a Division I school.
They've got him. Man. He escapes. How'd he do it?
Nick Foles still got it.
Back to Foles. He's going deep down the far side of the field.
Jason Peterson was told he was too old. Jason Kelsey's too small. Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice. Brandon Brooks has anxiety. It's the whole team. It's the whole team.
The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you.
Yeah, they burned down the city that year.
Yeah. So... Yeah,
didn't a fan eat a horse poop?
Yes, he did.
He did. He did all kinds of crap in Philadelphia.
He did.
And then not only that, I think another fan punched a police horse, too.
A police horse?
Yeah, he punched him right in the face. Right in the nose.
This is so exciting, bro. Bang. Horse in the nose.
And you remember the guy running next to this subway, and he ran right into the pillar?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, that, honestly, it was a great year, not just being biased because I'm an diehard Eagles fan, but it was really, really fun to watch. As many years being an Eagles fan, I have no hair. I had two heart attacks since then, but it was the first United team of any team. That's when they started doing those end zone things.
Yeah, the end zone celebrations, like the group pictures and stuff.
Yeah, they started it. Yeah. And they had so much fun. Well, and I thought that was awesome. You know, I'm not trying to be biased. It was just fun to watch them. You know, all the team unity. And I'm very sad that they drank too much after the Super Bowl because they had the largest hangover in the past 3 years. So, you know.
For me, the biggest thing that I think about, and it's not even the Super Bowl, it's that NFC Championship against the Vikings. And it's just before the game, you could see all the energy on the players' faces. You could see, like, while they're playing Meek Mill in the stadium, you could just feel it. You know, like, I'm not even an Eagles fan, but you can feel when it's like, all right, this team wants it more than the other team. So,
yeah. And
they're going desperate when they're playing Meek Mill.
But wasn't it? Isn't it ranked like one of the top Super Bowls ever?
Most offensive yards in a game.
Most offensive yards. Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
I mean, it was like 10,000 yards.
I'm not gonna lie, that game was insane. I mean, coming from two different perspectives, I think you could say the same thing.
Yeah. No, it was talent all around. Nothing real defensive about that Super Bowl.
Stephon Gilmore got a pick. I mean, Daron Harmon got a pick. That's about as defensive as a guy.
Yeah, that's about as defensive. I mean, in the last play. Wasn't many sacks. Yeah. Wasn't very many.
No,
like
the only time
like
they got a Tom Brady
like
actually was when he fumbled
the
ball.
Like tips. There wasn't very many QB rushes. Mm-mm. You know. And
Brandon Graham.
Yeah, nothing really defensively, if I remember correctly, on that game, specifically. But Eagles come out of it, you know, winners.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The city paid the price for that.
Yeah. No, I mean
the scenes
I feel like
after
more or less
that.
The police horse paid
dude,
the price
no, just
for
like
that.
The whole scenes of Philadelphia after that was just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah. So my daughter, 21 at the time, she lived downtown, and she was part of that mayhem. Mm-hmm. And she sent me pictures.
Jesus.
And I'm like, get home alive.
Please, it was terrible. We're gonna take a quick break, guys. We're gonna be right back, and we have been going through position. Use segment and wide receivers are up today. Come back and you'll hear the top seven or the final seven colleges on this list. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Beyond Air Network.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama. Uh-huh. His laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College Radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
And we are welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com. We got our last segment here before the press box show today with Corey Nelson comes up at 4 to 5 today. We got position you wide receivers. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are a high school athlete or a youngster at the moment, we all here are past our primes. So that's why we're on the radio.
And we're not past our primes on that yet.
Yeah, we're not past our primes on the radio.
I'm on a senior bowl.
Yeah, he's in a senior league on the weekends for golf.
Yeah.
Old men. So
you can't complain about going out and having some beers with your buddies.
No, dude, I was telling him to sign. Let me sign up. I wanted to go out there. I'm getting old.
Yeah. Love it.
Position you guys, if you're a young kid, you're in high school right now, you're listening to this, these are some of the colleges, if you're a wide receiver, you might want to consider if you can get in. Because obviously these top 10 are some prominent colleges, starting with number 10, one of the most prominent colleges in America, at Notre Dame. Some notable wide receivers real quick. Golden Tate, Will Fuller, Michael Floyd. Mm-hmm. Jeff Samardzija. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Corey, do you have any wide receivers for any other talented wide receivers from Notre Dame that you know?
Which ones have you already listed? Sorry.
Golden Tate, Will Fuller, Michael Floyd are some of the most notable ones in recent years. Notre Dame has I never considered them a huge wide receiver unit.
I got a number five for you.
Let's hear it.
Jeff Samardzija.
Yeah, I just said Jeff Samardzija.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What about Rocket? His name is
Rajon Rocket Ismail.
Rocky Bullwinkle.
Go back to
Ismail.
Bed.
Ismail. Rocket Ismail. Okay. Ismail.
All right. We won't ask him Ishmael? Anymore.
He's number one.
No, we won't.
He's number.
He was only good at kick returns, so.
he's number one. Going to number nine. Alabama. Now everybody in the country tries to get out of tries to get to Alabama. It's very, very hard to get to Alabama.
What's crazy thing about it is most people think of Alabama for a running back school, university. But look at these receivers.
Listen to these four: Mari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and Jerry Jeudy. That's not even putting Henry Ruggs on that list. Mm-hmm. Alabama's wide receiver list is deep. And I think they should be way higher than nine. I think they should definitely be higher than the number eight team, definitely number seven. Man, I would even put them at above number six. So they would be a top five wide receiver university for me. ESPN is not giving them enough love, I don't think.
No.
With Michigan, especially at number eight. Devin Funchess, Braylon Edwards, David Terrell. Really? What kind of list is that? How you going to put those three ahead of Alabama's four here? And Julio was third on the list. So, I mean, he's probably number one. Well, as I was reading.
Who was?
Sure, he's number one on the list.
Who won the Heisman out of Michigan? It almost sounds like Rocket.
It was. Come on, Corey, save us. I thought you got it. I thought you had it. No, you were about to talk.
Oh, Denard Robinson? Did he win the Heisman?
Desmond Howard.
I mean, he was on Howard.
That's what
yeah.
it is. The Desmond. ESPN guy, yeah. I was trying to let you do it, man. Show your knowledge, but
NCAA 14.
It wasn't there. I got it. It's okay.
There's what you thought of Denard Robinson.
Yeah, Denard Robinson was the best tackle. How would I say it? That's probably the best defensive play I've ever watched to destroy a quarterback was when – Jadeveon Clowney destroyed Denard Robinson's body.
Yeah.
with the fake handoff, and he didn't even get to turn around when Jadeveon Clowney sent him to the moon.
Well, if you remember a play earlier, remember they didn't give him the first down, so NC State had to go back out on defense.
It was South Carolina.
Yeah, my bad. South Carolina. They go right back out on there, and Michigan
just laid him to pieces.
I mean, that's the ultimate definition of ball don't lie, right?
No, dude. That, like, I mean,
you didn't give him the first down, and then the very next play.
That sits up there with when like with the Reggie Bush hit.
Oh my!
When he played, was it Philly? It was against Philly. Philly, right?
Yeah. But it was number 29.
Who was that guy who hit him? Come on, Philly man.
No, it was Steve Atwater. No kidding. Steve Atwater.
No, that hit the big Reggie Bush hit when he got flattened, bro. Come on.
I mean, there was so many.
Come on, Jacob. I got nobody here to help me. This is ridiculous, man. I need some new people.
School knows everything.
Yeah, I typically do, man. I know about the hit.
Yeah, I thought you remembered everything.
Sheldon Brown.
Hey, look, man. I can't know it all, guys. Sheldon Brown. That was my next guess, though.
I'm sure it was.
I'm still hungover from the Super Bowl.
Number 7. Wide Receiver University, Florida. I personally, as a Florida fan, I don't think they should be even on this list at wide receiving universities. Florida is a defensive university. Defensive line, defensive ends, corners, safeties. That's what Florida is. We don't really push out
offensive talent,
really. Percy Harvin's on this list. Andre Caldwell, Antonio Callaway.
The only notable player they would actually say is like incredible, Percy Harvin.
Well, Antonio Callaway starts in – well, he doesn't really start. He's backup for – the Browns. He got cut by the Browns, so he's free agent.
Yeah, and he's always on the Giants.
I
got a list here, and I've never heard of any of these guys. Ike Hilliard.
Yeah.
Wes Chandler.
Ike Hilliard won the wide receiver player of the year in college.
Chris
Doering has the Doering? Florida record for most yards in the
Rydell Anthony.
80s, 70s?
Yeah, Hilliard played for the Giants.
Dallas Baker. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. What CU got, bro? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Philip Lindsay?
I went to CSU.
What do they got? What have they produced?
Michael Gallup.
Preston Williams.
Oh, Michael Gallup.
Preston Williams.
Yeah. Hmm. Awesome, dude. So what position university we put them at?
Who's the guy on the Browns?
Michael Gallup's a second. What?
There was a wide receiver on CSU.
Oh, yeah, Rashad Higgins.
Rashad Higgins?
Yeah. Yep, CSU as well.
He's not that bad of a wide receiver. Actually, number 6.
Todd Baker Mayfield's first touchdown pass.
I think number 6 shouldn't be here either. Oklahoma. Marquise Brown, Ryan Broyles, Jalen Saunders, Sterling Shepard. Where the heck is C.D. Lamb?
Roy Williams?
Have you guys ever seen that?
Are you still stuck on CSU, dude?
No, Roy Williams, Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma. I was like, wait a minute.
Oklahoma.
Who the heck is Roy Williams?
Oklahoma is just all run.
Have you guys ever seen that video of Sterling Shepard going into a Foot Locker and asking that kid? He's like, "Do you guys know who Sterling Shepard is?" And he's like, "Yeah, he's trash."
Where the heck is CeeDee Lamb on this list? He's probably one of the greatest Oklahoma wide receivers of all time.
Well, I feel like this list also probably came out right before the draft, so they probably didn't put in consideration.
Well, before the draft, they still knew who CeeDee Lamb was.
Yeah, they did, but they probably are looking at who's already been drafted.
I think this number 5. Before we get to 4 and hop out of here to get on our next show, the Press Box with Corey Nelson, Oklahoma 6 and LSU 5. I think LSU the 1 year. In 2013
with Odell Beckham.
Odell and Jarvis Landry was probably the greatest wide receiver combo in college football history together. Now nobody really noticed it because they didn't do very well that year.
I mean, wasn't Zach Mettenberger their quarterback?
Zach Mettenberger was the quarterback. My bad. So like I said, they didn't do very well that year. If they would have had Joe Burrow, my lord. Yeah, that would have been more destructive.
Well,
than
even then, now
were.
Look at T. Higgins out of LSU. Now they got some good receivers out of there.
Yeah, D-Hop came from Clemson, which it's crazy. D. Clemson's not even on this list, dude. Yeah. And to round it out, number 4, Oklahoma State. some notables. James Washington, little small James Washington, Justin Blackman, Dez Bryant.
Yeah. Tylan Wallace.
Yeah.
That Justin Blackman name just sticks out to me the most of what could have been. I mean, could what have a been. Great talent for
he
Jacksonville
was, he was.
For what, the 2 years that he was. He just had the same problem as Josh Gordon, just couldn't stay off, you know, the drugs, which is sad. That
we all know Dez ruined. Bryant was talent. You know, he was there. James
had a limited route tree, though.
He's a Pittsburgh, am I wrong?
Is yeah, he's in Pittsburgh, yep. He's their second receiver to...
Not doing too bad. Mm-hmm. So, well, guys, that was our position. You, colleges, for this show today. You guys want to come back tomorrow. We actually have a special two-hour show with me and Shaggy here at 11 to 1 on GoMileHigh.com. If you guys would like to listen in, again, we're going to run. I'm going to run through this. Notre Dame 10, Alabama 9, Michigan 8, Florida 7, Oklahoma 6, LSU 5, and Oklahoma State 4. Those are position you top 10 for wide receivers. If you are a youngster and you're looking to go, we are going to be back here in about 3 to 4 minutes with the Press Box with Corey Nelson as your host. And this is on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. And this was Inside the Huddle.
See ya.